Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Galvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Very excited to be joined by our friend, and we haven't seen you in a long time. It's been too long. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Good morning, Dr. Lierley. How are you?
Good morning. It has been too long. I've missed you guys.
We've missed you too. Very much so. And according to the fur baby you have in your lap, you were missed by fur baby also. Who are you holding?
This is Cirrus. He is one of my pound cats. I have two, and he just needs to be close to me.
All the time.
He likes to like jump up on me and then just flop. It's like, it's not graceful.
Well, we are delighted to have you join us. Dr. Laura Hanks, who normally joins us at 11:33 for public service announcement, hopefully is going to be able to pop in at some point just to say hello. She is scheduled for a surgery today. She is actually a doctor doing doctor things, so we have to be a little flexible, and we completely understand. But Dr. Hanks is hoping that she can pop in, at least say hello to you, Dr. Lierley, because you are the one who set us up with Dr. Hanks.
She's wonderful.
She is.
And, you know, doesn't this just remind you of how chaotic our lives are and how your surgery happens when it happens? So if you're a patient and you're awaiting your surgery and it's scheduled for 11 o'clock, there's all the stuff that happens before that. And if a case runs long or if a case runs short, like, it's also very unpredictable. So you just got to roll with it.
Absolutely.
Just like life.
Yeah, you got to be flexible. You have to be flexible. Well, we kind of saved this. We talked a little bit about it on Monday. Monday, of course, being the 2-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade. So we really wanted to wait until you were able to join us to talk more specifically about some of the things that are happening now as the result of this decision. And I want to start off just by, in case anyone is unclear, who is responsible for the current state that women are in this country? You can put it all on Donald Trump. And he's perfectly fine with that. And he wants to own the fact that he overturned Roe versus Wade. So I think we should allow him to do that. Calvin, let's play that clip.
I got rid of Roe v. Wade. Supreme Court justices and the Supreme Court ruled to end the moral and constitutional atrocity known as Roe v. Wade. Very important. We did the Roe v. Wade thing, which they've been trying to get it done. If it weren't for me with Roe v. Wade, you wouldn't even be talking about this. Getting rid of Roe v. Wade was an incredible thing.
I'm the one that got rid of Roe v. Wade.
And what I did by killing Roe v. Wade, which everyone said was impossible. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it. And I'm proud to have done it.
And it's working beautifully, is what he said. And it's working beautifully, and everyone is very, very happy about this. Everyone's very, very happy about this.
I'm sure in his world, everyone is very, very happy about this because he lives in this bubble. But the people I'm talking to, and I'm not just talking about women of reproductive age, I'm talking about men. I'm talking about older postmenopausal women. I'm talking about young people, my kids' friends. This is a huge problem. And when you look at polling and you look at what people are concerned about, you know, of course, I'm a candidate for Congress, so I want to make sure that we're addressing the issues that people are concerned about.
Sure.
What we hear in polls is that people are concerned about economic issues, putting gas in their car and putting groceries on their table. And you hear them up in northeastern Wisconsin, where I am, talking about the border. That's an issue for them up here. But one of the things that you don't hear a ton about is abortion. You hear about reproductive rights a lot in population centers where people feel more comfortable talking about it. But in redder counties and redder regions, people feel much less comfortable just vocalizing it. But I can tell you, in conversations that I'm having in Shawnee and Kewaunee and Oconto and places where we have been very red over the past couple of years, people are talking about this and they are going to vote on it.
Well, and I think too, Dr. Lierley, and you pointed out, you know, women, a lot of women my age, I'm 64. My sister, who is 10 years older than me, had friends who had to go through getting illegal abortions. So women my age and older remember what it was like before pre-Roe and will not go back there. And I think there are some who will not tell their husband or their friends or their inner circle how they're going to vote. But when they go into the voting booth, this is going to be a big factor for them.
For sure. We get a lot of messages from people across the country. We have a true grassroots campaign because people understand how important it's going to be to elect a pro-choice, the first pro-choice OBGYN to Congress. There aren't any right now.
That's amazing.
And it's unbelievable. There are OBGYNs, but they literally are anti-choice and really anti-science. So this is so important, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And the messages we're getting from people are like, they're private messaging us to say, I am sending money to your campaign on behalf of my friend who died of an illegal abortion. I am sending money to your campaign because I live in Florida and I have three granddaughters who can't get birth control because of the circumstances down here. I am sending money to your campaign because I'm in Arkansas and I have been collecting petitions and I just got doxed and literally attacked for trying to put it on the ballot. So we are under attack. Those of us who believe in making our own medical decisions, not even just abortion, but contraception, IVF, all of it, we are under attack and they will stop at nothing. This is a time where we have to stand up. And this is an opportunity. My campaign is an opportunity, but there are many, many other ways to get involved and be part of the solution.
I think something you said too earlier this week, I think it's important when you say standing up, I think it's also important to encourage the men out there to voice their opinions on this, because this affects a lot of people, men included, partners, husbands, boyfriends, or just or single men who might need to access contraception or the Plan B pill. But where this begins, where does it end? And when men sit down and go, well, I don't need to worry about this, or I don't know anything about this, or I don't have an opinion on it, you best have an opinion because it does affect you. And please know that. And also the other great thing you said was, men, don't be afraid of voicing your opinion. Of course, we must be respectful. We must understand that what's at stake here, but we do have skin in this game. And if you have a voice, stand up and say something and ask questions and speak your mind.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, our friend that we haven't had the chance to see in a long time. And we're going to make this a more regular occurrence, even though you do have several other things that are going on right now that we'll get to. In case anyone is unclear on where, say, the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the backers of Project 2025. And we talked about that for about an hour yesterday, including with our colleague Maggie Dawn, and the ramifications this will have on our democracy beyond just blowing it up. They don't believe that there is ever, ever any reason that a woman should have an abortion. Never, ever. Here is Kevin Roberts, the head of the Heritage Foundation.
As Christians, as Roman Catholics, we believe that no abortion can be morally justified.
Ever.
Well, that's great. I mean, if you are a Roman Catholic and that is your belief, then you are welcome to follow that belief. But if you are not a Roman Catholic, you need to have the ability to follow your own beliefs. And we need to respect each other's faith traditions and ideologies. This Project 2025 is incredibly frightening, not just from a women's health perspective, but they want to take away the Department of Education. They want to take away education from Americans so that only the wealthy will be able to afford to educate themselves. They want to take away progress that we've made on climate change. I was just doing a fundraiser in Door County last night, and that was the number one issue that folks up in Door County were talking about.
Really?
They are deeply committed to conservation. They've set aside a bunch of land to make sure that Door County stays as beautiful and pristine and wonderful as it is. And they're very concerned. You know, one gentleman said the Bay of Green Bay didn't even freeze over last winter.
Right.
And that was really scary. I was up in northern Minnesota. It was so bad for the economy. We didn't have any snow. We couldn't snowmobile. Ice fishermen couldn't get out on the lakes. It's it's bad. I mean, we know it's bad. So there are so many other things besides just reproductive rights. The thing that scares me the most is the, I think it's called the unified executive theory.
Oh, yeah.
Where the president is in charge of everything, including the Department of Justice. Wow.
Yeah. Wow is right. It's just consolidating all the power in the office of the presidency and essentially filling the government with nothing but lackeys who will let him do whatever he wants, whether it's legal or illegal or whatever. It's just free reign. I'm going to do what I want. This is what I think is great. We're talking about the ramifications of the overthrow of Roe versus Wade 2 years ago with the Dobbs decision. And this is a story that's been circulating for quite a bit. I don't know if you have heard of this man. Ryan Hamilton lives in Texas, and he and his wife have a 9-month-old daughter, and she got pregnant again. This was a wanted pregnancy. She told him that she was at 13 weeks and the fetus no longer had a heartbeat. So this isn't Texas, where there are no exceptions or very few exceptions, I believe. But again, things are written so murky that doctors mm-hmm. don't know how to navigate this. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Hamilton, it's unbelievable what they put this couple through. So yeah. There is no heartbeat at 13 weeks. They go to the doctor. The doctor gives her misoprostol, which is intended mm-hmm. to induce labor and is used for both miscarriages and abortions. And then they sent her home. It didn't work. She's still in great pain. They go back. They get a second round of misoprostol and they send her home. That didn't work either. She goes back to a third time, I believe, and they get another dose of this. At this point, he finds his wife in the bathroom, on the floor, in a pool of blood, and then they take her to the hospital, and the hospital says, thank goodness you came to us. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear from Ryan Hamilton in his own words right after this. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do?
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here for a special segment. We're talking about the ramifications of the 2-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade being overturned. And we were talking about a specific case in Texas. Ryan Hamilton and his wife were pregnant, expecting their second baby. She was almost 13 weeks pregnant. They found out that the baby no longer had a heartbeat. So they began mifepristol treatments, got sent home, went back, got sent home with another refill, got sent back. And then they were told the third time around she could not get another refill to continue the process. The doctor says, due to the current stance, I cannot prescribe this medicine for you. Due to the current stance, I can't give you this medication that you need to help you in this medical crisis. We have a couple clips from Ryan Hamilton talking to CBS News. Calvin, let's play number one, please.
Doctors opted to give her a higher dose of medication and sent her home for a third time.
I was in the living room playing with our daughter, and I had a missed call on my phone from her. I go into our bedroom and then into the bathroom, and she is on the bathroom floor. There's blood where she fell from the toilet to the floor. She's unconscious. And her phone is still ringing to call me. So I picked her up. I put her back on the toilet. I had to dress her. And my only goal in that moment was to get her to the emergency room. Got to the hospital, ran inside, told them what was happening, and they took her in. And you know what they said? Thank God you brought her.
She could have died. She could have died. He also
she
said,
could have died.
Yeah. He also said in this interview, the conversation was not about what is best for my wife. The conversation is on the hospital side. What is best for the hospital to do?
You know, Jane, that reminds me of something that my friend, Dr. Chris Ford, who is an emergency medicine doc in Milwaukee, said, specifically talking about EMTALA. So this is another one of those Supreme Court decisions that we're waiting for to see whether doctors in the emergency room have to provide emergency abortion care when it's needed. And I'm going to quote Dr. Ford. He said, in the ER, when there is a potentially life-threatening complication of pregnancy, minutes and seconds count. Physicians should be on the phone with their consultants, not with their lawyers.
No kidding.
As a patient, if you are seeking care, if you are bleeding and scared, you need medical care. The last thing you need are barriers that really could cost you your life.
And the other thing that makes me crazy, Dr. Lyerly, are some of these people who come out and say there is never a medical reason why you have to have an abortion. That is a lie.
Yeah, tell me more about that, folks. That, yeah, it's a lie. And that is something that we hear from ideologues who truly believe that if you were meant to die related to your pregnancy, that that is supposed to be your fate. And I, as a physician who cares for women, don't subscribe to that. I think that my patients need to make their own medical decisions and deserve all of their options so that they can choose the path of care that they need, because it affects them now, but it also affects us for the rest of our lives.
There was another case, and I want to say it was also in Texas, where she is no longer able to have children because she was so sickened by sepsis that she either had to have a hysterectomy or there are some other complications now where she can no longer have kids because she was not able to get the care that she needed. And I think you make a really good point, Dr. Lyerly. And I would have a lot more respect for these ideologues if they would own it and say, if you have complications, your child has fetal abnormal, you know, something that's going to be fatal. Too bad. Too bad. You're going to deliver it. It's going to die. You might die. God's will.
Hey, I don't understand that at all. Because so this is happening in Texas. You know, this has been in the headlines lately that, what is it, 13%? There's a 13% jump in infant deaths and a 23% jump in infant deaths due to congenital anomalies, due to birth defects. Things that we know in advance, we often diagnose right around the middle of the pregnancy. This is a reason why many people choose to terminate their pregnancies, because they know that these pregnancies are doomed and they then get to determine what happens next. Having that agency to make that decision for yourself, for your family, is absolutely critical. I personally have taken care of patients with non-viable pregnancies who were pregnant against their own will. They didn't have options. And I can't tell you how hard it was every time they would come to the office and we would have to check their vitals and have to check for fetal heartbeat and treat it like it was an evolving pregnancy, because, you know, pregnancy is a health risk for the mother. It is 17 times more dangerous to carry a pregnancy to term than it is to have a first trimester abortion. So pregnancy is not without risk. And in situations like this, let's think about the anguish and the mental health burden on people who are visibly pregnant at the grocery store or wherever in public, and the public just assumes that you're happy.
And being congratulated.
Yes. Like, you know, how happy for you? When are you due? And you're not feeling that way, but you have to carry that burden. And what about the financial burden of having to deliver a baby that won't live, but you still have to pay for all the medical costs? You still have to pay for the time away from work as you're trying to take care of this neonate, as you're trying to figure out your family dynamics. There is no end to the costs, mental, physical, financial, that people have to pay as a result of not being able to make their own personal healthcare decisions.
I saw one woman who went through this. She had to carry it to term, even though it was good. It survived for like a week after she delivered it, and then the baby died. And she said, I can't tell you what it is like to be planning for my child's funeral as opposed to my child's first birthday.
Yes. And some people would choose that. I have a friend who did choose that, knowing that her baby was going to die. And she got to hold her baby for a week, and that meant everything to her. But she got to decide what her fate was. She got to decide how that was going to go for her.
It was a choice. Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest, and we have tapped her to stay with us for another segment. Public cervix announcements. We're going to talk about melanoma and age spots. Can we just call them what they are, please? You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, we have a double dose of doctors today for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Kristen Lierley, our friend, is here. And Dr. Laura Hanks also checking in. Are you getting ready to go into surgery, Dr. Hanks, or did you just get out of surgery?
Both.
Dedication.
This is how dedicated she is. Seriously.
Dedicated to radio.
Sorry, my voice. Hold on 1 second. All right.
She's literally in the operating room. For those of you who can't see her, she's got her OR mask on, pulled down below her chin. She's got her bonnet on, her glass. Like, you look like a TV doctor, but legit.
Well, I'm outside the OR, or else I'd be like, yeah.
Right now, you're wearing your mask how my uncle wears his mask. He goes, I'll have to wear it.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a chance to have you both on because Dr. Lierley, when you left us a public cervix announcement to go on and run for office, you introduced us to Dr. Hanks to come in and step in. And I just got to say, Dr. Hanks, you fit right in and you slid right in. Even though we miss Dr. Lierley, Dr. Hanks, you rock. So and we've heard that from listeners as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to come and say hi to Dr. Lierley. I miss you so much. I can't wait to see you at all our meetings this fall.
No, girl, you are my soul sister. I am so proud to be in this fight with you. And just knowing that you are there and some of our other colleagues around the state helping to tell the stories, the things that we hear from our patients, it is so important. So I'm so grateful to you for your voice.
We do.
Oh, you too. You're doing the thing, girl. I'm so proud of you. Hence all my, supporting you online and everything. It's so great to see.
Andrew from Maine says, nurse to Dr. Hanks. Dr. Hanks, what are you doing right now? Dr. Hanks, I'm just on the radio. It's all fine. It's all good.
That's literally what I said. I said, I'll be right outside. I just got this podcast to do, and they kind of looked at me.
Right back. Well, we will let you get back to your preparations for OR, and then we'll see you next week at this time for public cervix announcement. Thanks so much, Dr. Hanks. Take
Great
care.
Great to see you guys.
You as
see
well.
You later.
See you in a week.
Bye.
All right. We are going to talk about melanoma and skin cancer. It is summertime, and I have a personal... I hate talking about this stuff, but I don't think I'm the only one. I'm 64 years old, and if you watch the live stream, I'm sure you have noticed I have these hideous moles. I thought they were moles on the side of my head, and they've been there for a long time, and they're changing and turning different kind of colors and things, and so I went to the dermatologist yesterday, and she said that is not a mole. It is... a seborrheic keratosis.
Seborrheic keratosis.
That's exactly what I said.
Hey, it's got the word carrot in there, so that's good vitamins.
That's what it is. So, first of all, I'm delighted to... She said it's not... They're not cancerous. They're just, you know, not... They're ugly. They're just ugly. And this is something that...
They're not cancer. Well, they're ugly.
No, she... Okay, she didn't say they were ugly. I said they were ugly. But I think this is something that happens as people get older. Again, I'm 64 and my mother had these. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that happens with age. But you can be unsure. I've always been unsure on whether or not it was skin cancer or something else. And my whole thing about what they're calling it, aren't they just age spots, Dr. Lyerly? Isn't that what they were used to be called, age spots?
There are so many different things that can happen to your skin, and we're seeing more and more skin-related pathology related to sun exposure. I know, it's crazy, especially as we age, you know, our populations, as we're getting older, we've got more sun exposure, lots of different things can happen. The one we're all worried about is melanoma.
Right.
And we can talk about how to pick up on those warning signs early. But what you've got, Jane, seborrheic keratosis, is super common. These are those little spots. Sometimes they're brown, sometimes they're even flesh colored, but they're scratchy. They're like sandpaper, and they're just slightly raised, and they're just mild abnormal spots. They're irritating. They sometimes can bleed if they rub against things, but they're not cancer.
And again, I am delighted that they're not cancer. And
I don't.
The doctor used liquid nitrogen.
Uh-huh.
So we froze them. So that's going to be a delightful 2-week process. I'm very excited about that. But, you know, it's something I think we all need to be aware of. And the one thing that confuses me, Dr. Lyerly, is it was my understanding that you want to keep a track, you know, watch your moles to see if they change. And if they don't, if they have jagged edges and if they start changing, that is a sign that you should get them looked at because they could potentially be cancerous. But with the things that I have on my temple, they change and they have rough edges. And so you really only know if you go to a dermatologist.
That is the most important thing to take away from this discussion. If you've got something that you are worried about that is growing somewhere on your skin and you just don't feel confident that you know what it is, please go see a dermatologist because they will diagnose it for you. They will help you figure out what the next steps are. And if it's cancer, that's serious.
Yes.
There are some cancers that aren't that big of a deal. You can just actually scoop them off with a procedure that was developed at the University of Wisconsin, in fact, Mohs surgery. But if it's a melanoma, it's a much different situation because melanoma can be life-threatening and is actually, in many ways, very difficult to treat. So please, if you have questions, if something doesn't seem right, please do see your doctor. But in the meantime, you can use the ABCDEs to try to figure out if it's something you need to be worried about. Do you know about the ABCDEs, Jane?
We do not.
I know my ABCDEs.
Is that the free stop?
That's a joke. Whatever. What are those, doctor? Pray tell.
Well, A is asymmetry. So if you look at that spot and it doesn't look symmetrical, one side looks different than the other, that is suspicious. B is border. Does it have a nice, neat border, or is it really irregular where it looks like it's kind of spilling all over itself? C is color. Is it a consistent color, or does it have lots of different colors within it? D is diameter. How big is it? If it's bigger, it's more likely to be a problem.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And then E is evolving. If it's changing rapidly, that is more likely to be aggressive. So all of those things, if it's asymmetrical, if it has an uneven border, if it has lots of different colors in it, if it is large in diameter, and if it is changing, evolving, those would be reasons to go see a dermatologist, just have them take a peek at it. Maybe they'll want to get a biopsy, and then they can offer you options for whether it needs to be treated or if you can just keep an eye on it.
Well, and it's just interesting, though, as you went through the A, B, C, D, E, I feel like I have all those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the size, the irregularity. Good heavens, I was in for a dentist. I got my teeth cleaned last month, and the dentist came in for my checkup, and she said, "What is that? Have you had that looked at?" So it's like, geez, maybe I should,
Mind your business, doc. Right here.
No, but she has had her own experience with skin cancer.
Yeah.
And as you said, it can be treated, but that can be a much more difficult treatment. And it's not something, even with what I have, even though it's just a age spots or whatever, don't try and scrape it off yourself. No. That's not a good idea.
Right. The ABCDEs are just a screening tool for you to use at home. So it's not 100%. It's just a reason for you to go, something doesn't seem right here. I'm going to get it checked out.
I'm going to put I found the, what is it? The American Academy of Dermatology, what to look for, ABCDEs of melanoma. That'll be in the show notes today. Lisa Joe from Madison said, "I burn those babies off. I hate them." And Tony, Tony on the live stream said, "They're distinctive, not ugly."
Oh, that's really nice of you, Tony. They're hideous. Come on. Just be honest. It's ugly. It's just ugly.
I've never noticed them, Jane. Your hair covers them up. It wasn't until you took off your headphones and like showed us that I have noticed.
But I put my glasses on top of my head all the time. And my sister brought this up last year. She's, you know, I'm just like everybody else. You poo-poo things for long enough. I'll get around to it, yeah. You know, and then a year went by until my dentist mentioned this last month. Because again, she has several scars. She has several big scars from where she had her melanomas removed. She's happy to do that because now she doesn't have cancer. But it is something that we all need to take seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and melanomas can go deep and they get into your bloodstream and then you start to see tumors in other places like your brain. Yeah, melanomas are very dangerous. So that's what the ABCDEs are really meant to help us identify. If we can identify melanomas early, they're much more easily treated than if you find them later in life.
Well, and as Lisa Joe from Madison said, you know, there are other there for what we have, the age spots or the, what is it called? The keratosis?
Seborrheic.
Yeah, whatever. Age spots.
that was the thing, Dr. Lyerly. I feel like she was, like, while she was very appreciative it weren't cancerous, she was so mad that the pamphlet didn't just say age
just
spots.
Just come on.
But when I was growing up, they were called liver spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my grandparents talking about that. Oh, these liver spots. And then they'd put the salve on the liver spots. Yeah.
And did that do any good? No.
Well, it's different. You know, like I said, there are different things. So the seborrheic keratoses are these rough, kind of raised small patches. Age spots can often be melasma or just these spots that tend to be changes in color. So I get melasma in the summer because I am not super great about sunscreen. I'm just going to admit it. I'm not perfect. So
good
sometimes
to know.
When I go out, yep, I know.
Good to know.
Sometimes I go out in the summer, I get a little too much sun exposure on my face and then my cheeks, like my cheekbones will get some darker patches. You know, that kind of stuff can be age spots or the spots on your hands.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you start to see that like in your grandparents. You know, I don't have them yet.
That's why Madonna wears gloves. That's my.
Well, yeah, there is a singer-songwriter legend who was wearing gloves for a long time and then showed up in interviews with perfectly smooth hands and it's not natural looking and they are in their 80s now.
Wow.
Yeah. So like,
yeah, your hands shouldn't be shiny and all taut when you're 80.
Yeah. It's weird. It's just weird. So,
but other than,
yeah, but we all have things about our bodies that make us feel uncomfortable. And when you're living with something like a seborrheic keratosis on your face and you keep putting it off, think of the stress that you feel on a regular basis when you put your glasses up on your head and you see it in the mirror and you're like, oh, I wonder if that means something. I just don't want to get it checked out. I'm sure it's fine. But there's still that little nugget of stress that lives inside your gut. So just get it checked out.
Yeah.
We have Nancy from Wausau texting in. So glad to hear Dr. Lyerly on the show. Thank you for all of your hard work out there, Kristen.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. I appreciate that.
And John,
well, and, you know, I wanted to acknowledge, you know, you said earlier, Greg, you mentioned we were talking about abortion and reproductive rights, and you said men need to be part of the conversation. And I just kept thinking about Stephen from Green Bay, who called in at one point and told us his wife's miscarriage story. And we got to talk a little bit about it. And, you know, I've since met Stephen in person. It's just so neat to hear men sharing their perspectives. I was talking with a couple guys from the Brown County Road Crew at a breakfast on the farm. And we were talking about how dangerous their jobs are. Please slow down in construction sites. These fellas get killed. It's so dangerous. But one of them, I mean, he must have been in his, you know, late 20s. He said, well, you know, Dr. Lyerly, I know your job is dangerous and hard too, because my wife and I, we've had some struggles. And I thought, man, for somebody like him to share that with me in this environment, this is so real for all of us. So I just appreciate the opportunity to talk about whatever it is, whether it's age spots or reproductive rights. The more we talk about these things, the more we can inspire people to get the information they need so they can make really good decisions.
We will have you back far sooner than it's taken this time around. Dr. Kristen Lyerly has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much, my friend. We'll be in touch very, very soon.
I love hanging out with you guys. Kristen for Wisconsin.com if you want more information.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thanks again. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it is Wednesday. That means the Riverside Rhythms happening right here in downtown Waukesha. Our very own Johnny Watermelon is out there right now, so stop by and say hello. And then later this afternoon, he will be out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market.
Johnny Watermelon never stops.
He's the man of the people.
He literally is. He goes to all of these events, and he truly loves meeting you.
He does. He loves meeting people. He loves talking to folks. Stop down at Riverside Rhythms today, and then the Pewaukee Farmers Market that I believe gets going around 3:30 in Pewaukee. Also, a reminder, Rangers at the Brewers today at 12:35. If you would like to listen to the game, you can do that. You can't do it over the app. There are legal ramifications with Major League Baseball and stuff, so you have to listen to it on a station, but you can catch the game on WRJN in Racine. That's 99.9 FM, 1400 AM, and at Kenosha, 98.1 FM, and also listen to the game today on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. Rangers at the Brewers at 12:35.
Good luck, boys.
You aren't there.
I know.
You're not there to prop them up.
But I'm there in spirit. I'm wearing my new jersey.
Oh, nice. New jersey.
Yeah, I bought it last night. I'm happy.
We should recap because we had Eitan Levine on yesterday. He's a comedian and writer, and he is on a quest to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation by throwing out 51st pitches at semi-pro and pro games, and he threw out the first pitch last night for the Brewers.
He did. He did a good job. He will tell you himself he lobbed it a little bit, but he got across first, across
it didn't bounce.
Home base. Didn't bounce. In fact, the guy the kid he had to follow.
Was it a kid?
Oh, yeah. He was 12 at best. He was already gripping the ball in knuckleball position, and he just winged it down and connected, and Eitan Larry's like, I had to follow that.
I had to follow the kid.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. He's having a really good time. We did some interviews, and It's wonderful what he's doing
for
Make-A-Wish, because he is a Make-A-Wish kid himself.
Yep.
And he had a blast. He loves the stadium. A little hot. It was a hot night last night.
I bet it was warm.
All that brick does not help. So, no, it was a really good time, and wishing him the best. He's going to be up at the Timber Rattlers game today, Madison Mallards tomorrow. So if you're listening to this and you want to go see him, whether you're in Appleton or you're in Madison,
mm-hmm.
you can see him. And you can go to 51stpitches.com for more information. Donate money to the cause. And, yeah, he's a great fella. He's a great, great fella.
He is a good guy. And go Brewers.
And go Brewers.
Go Brewers. Jalissa Burns in the Appleton Post-Crescent has an article today. Culver's celebrating 40 years with new concrete mixer and a $40,000 grand prize. Culver's will offer guests a chance to join the celebration every day in July with a 40 years of delicious sweepstakes.
So
starting on Monday, which is July 1st.
Okay. So there are new flavors every day, or is just a new flavor?
Daily prizes include a free scoop of frozen custard.
Okay.
$25 gift card.
I'm on.
A Culver's plushie.
Ooh.
A free concrete mixer. And free fries for 1 year. Awarded as a $1,000 gift card. Here's where the new concrete mixer comes in.
Okay.
The limited time Berry Happy Birthday concrete mixer, available only in July. The concrete mixer made with vanilla custard, blueberry swirls, freeze-dried blueberries, topped with a birthday cake pop and whipped cream.
So here's the thing that Culver's always gets right when it comes to their concrete mixers, their dessert treats. The ingredients, the blueberries or the caramel or the peanut butter cups, whatever you like to get, it's evenly distributed throughout the dessert. Unlike other trash organizations that just put it on top and say enjoy, and then you have a couple good scoops, and then it's just cold nothing.
So you like the evenly distributed pieces of Snickers or Butterfingers or whatever. Calvin, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, I will admit that the concrete mixer is better, but the DQ Blizzard is pretty well incorporated.
Yes.
As far as blended.
And
things.
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's not who you're casting aspersions on?
I am not subtweeting DQ. They know who they are. They've served a billion people.
They know who they are.
No, I love a DQ. I love a concrete mixer. I love it when they hold it upside down and be like, here. I'm like, all right, that's great.
Give it
to me. I paid for it. I will be visiting and having myself, what was it called? A berry?
It is the Berry Happy Birthday concrete mixer, available only in July.
If Culver's wants to come here.
We would love to host Culver's here.
We'd love to host a Culver. If there's a Culver around who wants to sit down and talk to us, we'd love to talk to
them. Let us know. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Email us.
I was older than Culver's.
40 years old.
Jeez.
On three Thursdays in July, Culver's will roll out system-wide happy hour promotions. free sprinkles on any frozen custard purchase all day. Buy one, get one free on all shakes and malts from 2 to 5 p.m. You can find out more about their 40th anniversary celebration. It's culvers.com, and we will put that in the show notes as well.
Calvin just winced. What was that? She said free sprinkles, and you went, meh.
Well, I just think, like, really, sprinkles, that should be free already.
Hey, you don't have a problem with inflation and sprinkles?
Have you ever harvested sprinkles?
Yeah. My gosh.
It's a long, you got to shake them off the tree and collect them with a net, and it's a long, involved process.
Not to mention you have to catch the sprinkle monsters who can actually do the collection, because our fingers are too big. They have the nimble fingers.
Teeny.
Calvin, you don't understand and appreciate the sprinkle economy. You do not. Sharky from Racine asked the ultimate question, shake or malt?
Oh, it's malt all
malt.
The way.
Got to go malt.
Calvin?
I concur.
Yeah.
Excellent.
We can all,
see,
America,
we
can come together.
We can agree. We can bring this up tomorrow night during the presidential debate.
Oh, that would.
Malt or shake. Oh, by the way, thank you so much to Penny and LaCrosse. We were talking about the tomorrow night's presidential debate a little bit earlier. Penny from LaCrosse listening on WLCX says, I'm having a watch party for tomorrow night, and she made up a bingo card.
I think if it's okay with her, can we, Penny, if you would text us either now or in the next few minutes, if we can post that.
It's very funny.
On our social media, we'd love to show people what you came up with.
My favorite square is Bing, Bing, Bong.
Yeah, Bing, bing, bong.
Bing, bing, bong. All right. News is coming up next. And then our friend and colleague, Todd, all about noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you to all of you for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.